Amen. It's good to have Brother Unger. I appreciate the work that God's called him to do. And he takes this very seriously. He has the wonderful support of his wife and family, and it's good to see them here with us tonight, too. And Brother Unger, come preach the Bible to us. Amen.
All right. Amen. It's good to be back. And let me turn this gadget on. I do want to introduce my family. You know us well. You're very good to the Unger family. We want to thank God for that. The support, the prayers, the godly example this church is. I do brag on this church, so you better keep the standard rolling. Because I tell you, we live in a day and hour where it's getting worse and worse, and it's getting the standard barrier's dropping, and God's people are cashing in and quitting on the Lord, and it seems like families are in so much trouble nowadays, and it seems like the old paths, nobody wants them anymore. But I'm going to stick by the stuff by the grace of God. And when I got saved, I got in for the long haul. I know nothing about retirement. Amen. And God's going to, it's just the way it's going to be with me. And I hope that's the way with everybody here. My wife, our last baby is here. And of course, I have Matthew. If y'all stand up real quick, they're growing up so fast. Matthew will be 13 this month. That's my eldest. Mark's in this black suit coat. He's now 10. Kelsey's 8. Then Jonathan's 5 next to my wife on the floor with a big ear sticking out. My nephew, that's Aim, that's my wife's sister's middle son, Daniel, he's here tonight. And he's holding Benjamin, who's now 3. And then Nathaniel is 2. And then Christina Grace, the last one we're through now, is newborn. Amen. So I won the girl. That's what how I wanted it to end, and God was very good to me. Amen. Better than I deserve. I actually wanted 5 girls, but I got 5 boys instead, and that's probably good because the girls are, I'm real picky, amen, about girls. I do a lot of preaching to girls. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I don't know why it is about me, but I like, the devil's trying to sift them in the day and hour we live in. Of course, young men seem to chase them all the time, and go to 2 Timothy, if you will, please, tonight. And 1 Timothy and chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're turning there, the ministry is doing well. We still have the juvenile work, and that's how the thing started. We're in, 4 facilities. One of them mainly, we preach in one of them 4 times a week. And that's where the chaplain's at. That's the main hub, and that's where we spend most of our time. We see all the boys there anyhow, because if you get arrested, that's where you go first. We're still there, been there since 93, and so that's a real blessing. We see souls there saved on a regular basis, and it's going very well. It's a real blessing. You can preach the fire out of that place. They love preaching. They've been getting it for years now by the grace of God. And we have a lot of the guards that enjoy it. In fact, they come out to church there when we're there. But the Boys Academy is doing very well. We got 23 boys. We had 20. There's 24 now since I've been gone about a week and a half. From the ages of 12 to 18. 3 boys are back visiting for Christmas. They're all 3 in Bible school. 2 are at Brother Hank Thompson School out in Austin, Texas. I don't know if you know Brother Hank or not. His 2 boys are in prison for whipping that kid. But I'll get into all that. But we know them very well. They're there, and they're back for Christmas business. And then one's a Navajo that Bob Dickey knows very well. It's Eric. They're all called to preach. The other boy's in Bible school in North Georgia, and I'm not sure where he's at. As far as I know, it's okay. Ain't no telling, though. Amen. But they're back visiting. We have one boy back, Peterbilt, because he's built like a Mack truck, a football lineman. He's back helping us just as a second hand, and he was with us a year ago. And then it's going well. It's going, when I'm gone, there's 3 men, myself, Brother Buddy, and Brother Nick, and then there's Brother Buddy's got 3 boys now that are up in their teens, 17, 15, and 14. They help us. They're backup to us. We're trying to raise our kids to take it over, just like you've done here. This is a role model church for training kids up. The pastor's got all his family here, I believe, or you right here. It's unbelievable. That's the way it's supposed to be done. I believe that. You're supposed to reproduce after your own kind. What better way to take over our work than to train our own kids? If that be God's will, he may pull them away and make missionaries out of them, but we can keep them. I want to keep them. Amen? And to put them to work. There's plenty to do. My daughter is, just real quickly, she now cooks for the boys' home. She's 8. She cooks twice a week at the house. We don't let her in the boys' academy around them boys. Amen? Because I don't want to go to jail. You'll see me on the front page for breaking their necks. But anyhow, I'm telling you, they look nice in suits, but they're mean as snakes. You wouldn't let your daughters around them either. Now she cooks twice a week, and then Matthew and Mark set breakfast, go over at 5 in the morning. They do it 5 days a week, and they set breakfast up before the boys get up at 6 and set the table, put the water out, fruit, and all that kind of business. So they just started getting the help this year, and it's a lot for them being their age, but they're doing well. So we want to thank, of course, my wife still cooks, and she's the Mexican food cooker. That's who does all the Mexican cooking for them. And of course, they're spoiled rotten, what they are, the boys. Amen. They do eat good. Now, they can complain to you about a lot of stuff, but eating's not one of them. Okay? So they do very well. But in 2 Timothy, so the ministry's going well. I want to thank God for it. I've got no complaints. We stay very busy. I like it that way. I function best under pressure. I'm just that way. If I got nothing to do, I get in trouble. Amen. So I like that. Amen. I like to be running wide open. So anyhow, take your Bibles. I still shoot guns. As you found out, some of y'all had some guys that are in the SWAT team, I believe, in this church. Am I right? Was this the place? I probably shouldn't be saying that. A couple of them are, I believe. They got a bunch of tinker toys like MP5s and 50 cal sniper rifles and stuff like that. Amen. Man, y'all got quiet on me. Amen. We'll preach on that tonight. Amen. But anyhow, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the Bible says this. We'll start in verse, I'm going to back up and start in verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of all those that believe. And that's the key. You must believe. And it goes on to say, these things command and teach. Paul's talking to Timothy here, young preacher man. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And he goes on, to neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, which laid on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Appreciate the church, the folk here, pastor here, their standards, their stand, Father. God bless them for being faithful, Lord, in the day and hour that we live in. It's an untoward generation. So many people are against you, Father, and your word. And bless the word of God tonight, your book. Thank you for it. Have your will and way in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I just want to take a few minutes. Christians and their character. Christians and their character. You might say Christians and some character things that ought to be found in you. I'm going to go right through this verse. A lot of times I like to do that. And I want to go back to verse 12. And Paul's talking here to a young preacher man. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, right off the bat, in the day and hour that we live in, it seems like to me that a lot of the youth are despised today. Even in our churches. Shouldn't be so. They're going to toe the line for us when we're gone off the scene. Amen. And what I'm looking for is some young folks that want to testify, stand up. It seems like it's hard to find young people in the day and hour that we live in. Young men that are willing to have guts in them, God and fortitude to stand up in this world to tell folks about the Lord. Amen. People ought to see it in you guys. Now, every time I come here, I see men's haircuts, which is a blessing. God made you a man on purpose. Amen. Some places I go, the boys look like girls. Amen. And the girls look like boys. Amen. But anyhow, I mean, you know, some of them, there's one lady I saw not long ago on the road that could have been a DI at Paris Island. Amen. She talked like a man. She acted like a man. She might have been. I don't know. But I'm telling you, we live in a day and hour where distinctions are gone. Paul said, talking about a trumpet. If you're on a battlefield and they blow a trumpet, they're going to blow a certain thing a certain way so that you know what's going on. It's very clear cut. I mean, retreat's retreat. Everybody knows what that is. Charge is charge. There's no question about that stuff. And I'm telling you, God's book is very plain. So we see here that, first of all, let no man despise thy youth. Young men, don't let anybody despise you. Get full of the Holy Ghost of God. Of course, you need to be saved. Get full of God. Get your Bible. Put your bootstraps up and go on for God. Do something for the Lord. You guys do around here. It's a blessing. Amen. But anyhow, the girls too. Amen. I mean, you girls, it's real simple in this life. Wait on the Lord for a husband. Amen. You knew I was going to say that. Amen. I didn't do it right. Me and my wife, it was by the grace of God that we turned out right. But we're an exception. We're not the rule. Amen. I mean, the Bible does say when you get married, it's one time for a lifetime. I mean, that's still in the Bible. It is good for a man not to touch a woman, there lives to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, let every wife have her own husband. I mean, Paul got asked that question for a reason, because sin in this country is rampant. And a touch still means touch. I don't know what the Greek says, and I really don't care. I ain't trying to be smart. I'm an Englishman. I read English, and I ain't real smart, amen, but I do know how to read the Bible. And in Proverbs, it says he's not going to hold him guiltless. Whoso toucheth his neighbor, his wife, he's not going to hold him guiltless. I mean, touch is touch. I mean, you young people know you got no business doing that. None. Zero. This preacher believes in zero contact till you're married. You can kiss your wife when you marry her, amen? When Papa gives her away and takes his hand out of her hand, you got a right to touch her then. Until then, you're liable to get your neck broke, amen? But I mean, you know, it's easy to preach that way here, but there's places I preach at. I'm the foreigner for preaching like that. And I wasn't raised in church. I was raised on the streets of Jacksonville, getting drunk and acting the fool. But I did get saved. And I do got 7 kids as a first generation Christian now that are going to get taught the Word of God, regardless of what my family thinks. I don't give a rip, amen. I love them. I want them to get saved. I want them to serve the Lord. But I'm not backing up for God's Bible, amen. I'm just not doing it, amen. And I can't help it. I didn't write the book, but I am going to try to obey it, amen. And I fail as much as you all do, but I'm just telling you, amen. At the judgment seat of Christ, God's not going to take our excuses for those of us that are saved. We're going to give a big account. Amen. And he's going to do the talking. Amen. And the book standard's already in place. The judge, the king of all the earth, the king of kings, the king of the universe, the creator, Paul said. Amen. So we're talking about, so I want to say this as we go down through there, but be thou an example of the believers. You still can. Now I know he's talking to a preacher here, but that's for all of us. Every one of us owe it to the Lord. If you lived 3 lifetimes over, you owe it to him to live for him. Bar none. A righteous man falleth down 7 times and rises up again. If you mess up, get up. Don't wallow in the trash. There's not going to be perfect days. Forget that. Amen. I haven't found one. I've got good days in the Lord. But I mean, this thing of being, it just don't happen. We'll get a perfect body one of these days just over yonder, but not yet. Not this old ugly mug. I got to put up with this till I die. Amen. But my mom says I need to slow down. I said, Mom, when I'm dead, I can slow down. Amen? I mean, graveyards, you can slow down then, man. I'll get a new body then, of course. I can really go fast then. But we're talking about being an example to the believers. And he says this, first of all, in word. That's simple. That's your mouth. Now, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. This is a wonderful verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And young people need this all the time. And I guess I'm preaching to young people. Most of my preaching is to young folks. But young folks need it, old folks need it, in between, all of us need it. But our mouth is probably the most spoke about thing in the Bible, in the King James Bible. I would venture to say if you did a word study, there's a whole chapter in James 3 dedicated to it. But I know my mouth gets me in a lot of trouble. It gets me in trouble with my wife, when I'm caustic with it, when I'm being a jerk. Amen. When I'm not supposed to be. A grouch, you know, Groucho Marx. I think I get that title. Like me and Brother Buddy, we're in a race. His wife and my wife say we don't know who's the grouchiest some days out there, amen, at the property. But I have to work at that all the time, because I'm telling you, sometimes I let the military in me, and this book's militant, and sometimes I'm so militant that I run things over, amen. They raised the age in the Army to 37. I told my wife I could still go join the Rangers. I think I could still qualify. I do, man. I still do push-ups, sit-ups, and run. I do, man. I would love it. I'd love some trigger time. I'd probably get shot because it ain't the will of God for me. I'd be dead the first day I was there. And then God would be spanking me in heaven for disobeying him, amen. But I'd sure like to do it. I'd like to go over to Iraq and give him a round or two, amen. I would. Brother Kimmel, I just got pictures of his son, Matt Kimmel. I'm going to put them on my wall. That's my boy's hero, one of them. The boy loved God and served God and tracked people in Iraq. He did. The boy had a good testimony. And it's hard to find. Our military gets bashed enough the way it is. And there's a bunch of them are heathens. I understand I was one. But there's just something in me, amen, about this country and bloodshed and the long history of this country. I don't do well with it when folks run down the military. And, of course, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's number one. This country's going to come and go someday, and I understand that. But it's hard for me to take it when folks run him down, you know. Amen. But I got some colored pictures of him over in Iraq, some really good photos. Ecclesiastes 5:2. hang those up on my wall. It beats Hollywood, amen. Beats it to pieces. And a bunch of ball players and, you know, advertising stuff in their underwear and all that jazz. That's a bunch of wicked garbage. Amen. Amen. I hope you got them in your house. Get them out. Amen. Burn them before the sun comes up. Them guys ain't going to help you a bit. They wouldn't come hear your pastor preach on Sunday. They'd play ball, though. I love sports, too. I do. I love college football. I love that stuff. But I'm just telling you, they defame God's day all the time. And they enjoy doing it. Amen? Amen. My kinfolk are all NASCAR fans. Boy, you want to get in trouble, get on NASCAR around. I do it on purpose. Amen. I do it on purpose. It's good for them. Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Now that's enough, the Lord. But what about everybody around us? See, our testimony here to be an example to the believers. For God is in heaven, amen, and thou upon earth. Well, what a humbling thing. That shows us the difference there. Therefore, let thy words be few. The old-time preacher in England, Brother, the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon. I believe it was Brother Spurgeon that said the most he's talked to somebody at one time was 10 minutes. I could be wrong on that quote because he said his mouth would probably get him into trouble. Be not rash with thy mouth. Every one of us here, from old to young, need to watch what we say. Right. Jesus Christ said, let thy words be yea, yea, nay, nay. Yes, sir, no, sir. That's the best thing you could do. That'll keep you out of hot water. We got a fellow that's in the military. He's a captain. He's going to be helping us in the boys' academy when he retires. His name's Bob May. Yeah, he's in 16th Special Operations Command at Herbert Field, the Puff the Magic Dragon, the Spectre gunships. And he has a saying he tells the boys all the time, never pass up an opportunity to shut your mouth. Well, that's the truth, man. Never pass up an opportunity to shut your mouth. I'm telling you, that's good for this preacher, amen? God knows I need it. So our speech ought to be clean. That goes without saying, your speech ought to be clean. The cursing, bitter water, James taught, you can read James chapter 3, I ain't going to take the time, but James chapter 3 is loaded with admonition about our mouth. And we need to watch it. Hitler killed a multitude of people with his mouth.
Right.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Matter of fact, in Proverbs it says, there's a verse over there, and I'm going to mess it up. I'm thinking of the one where it talks about life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes,
and right. It goes on to say something else. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but that's quite a saying. That's quite a proverb. Amen? Number two, I'd like to say this. Look on down in that verse. We're to be an example to the believers in word, first of all. Let me go back over there. And then next it says in conversation.
Right.
In word. Now, this is conversation. This is your life. What about this kind of a character trait? Your manner of life, I wrote down. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. There's a part of that verse that says, you know, I've said it here before, but I use it a lot with young men. You're to bear your yoke in your youth. That's in that verse.
Right.
Of course, that deals with work. There's a lot of work going on around here, both physically and spiritually. Now, I hope you work. You little girls ought to work at the house. Amen. You know how I believe about that. Amen. Now, I know there's exceptions. I understand all that. I'm not talking. But these little girls that ain't been married, that are being raised and trained by the glory of God, you have every opportunity to do it God's way, all the way, the rest of your life. If you'll wait on God. Now, that's a hard thing to deal with. Boy, teenagers think they know everything. You do. You might as well say amen. But you don't. You ain't smart enough to grow okra. Some of you might be able to save your life. Amen. You don't. Amen. I mean, it just you get up, things are there for you, and that's the way it is. But I'm telling you, that's not how it really is in life. Amen. But I'm telling you, our conversation of life is everything. Psalms 37:14 says, David said, be of an upright conversation. Upright. Be of an upright conversation. Psalms 50:23, the Bible says, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. You want God's blessing? Do right. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. That's how I sign my Bibles, most of them. Do right until the stars fall. You'll do okay doing that. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Amen. You're never going to mess up making the right decision and doing the right thing, young people. Now, you get up, since you've been up today, you've probably made at least 50 decisions. You chose to get dressed, probably brush your teeth, I hope. Take a shower, clean up, amen, so you don't smell the high heaven. I mean, smell like an old goat, amen, as we used to say on the farm here in town. I mean, throughout your day, you're constantly stuff being put in front of y'all, young ladies and young men, to make decisions for the glory of God. Now, I'm telling you, it counts. David, you know, not David, one of my most favorite Bible characters is Daniel. He purposed in his heart. You know, he did that. And I always liken Daniel into special forces. You say, well, I preach a lot about the military, but, you know, there's a lot of characters. Some of them guys got more character than we got. And they're going to burn in hell. I'm telling you. They're obedient unto death like Jesus Christ was. You know what I'm saying? They train. And you take, I study them all, sometimes too much. I read sometimes 30 books a month. Sometimes my mind's just so full of stuff. But as long as it's good stuff, amen? But, you know, those guys, you know, how could David be put, or how could Daniel be put in a position where he's taken from his mom and daddy, a young boy, in one of the most wicked kings God ever used,
right.
Nebuchadnezzar,
right.
to judge his people for disobedience. And that guy just flew through it like a grease ball going down a ball bearing going down a grease slide. I mean, you don't see anywhere where David had or where Daniel had a problem. I mean, you read through the book of Daniel, it's just like he's just going right through it. And he was a young boy. I'll tell you how he did it. He had already purposed.
Yes,
David had decided before he ever came to that day. I keep calling him David. Daniel. Daniel had decided, I'm going to do right.
Amen.
It's time to pray, I'm praying.
Right.
When it's time to read, I'm reading. When it's time to go to that fire furnace, I'm a-going. Now, he isn't involved in it, but he was somewhere. He didn't bow. I don't believe a word of that.
Amen.
The three other Hebrew children are mentioned, but I'm telling you, he ate right. He obeyed God. The boy was a fine example. Matter of fact, the Word of God says he had an excellent spirit. I don't know of anywhere else in the Bible where it talks about any other fella that's got an excellent spirit. You know what that is? That's absolute control of your faculties. That's called discretion. That's all that wrapped up in the ball that Proverbs talk about, discretion, understanding, wisdom, knowledge. All that into one ball, being able to control that. The biggest thing for a young man is being able to rule your own spirit. That's a no-hitter for us, I'm telling you. I mean, you must do that. And Daniel had that down. How did he do it? He purposed. How do those teams, how does those teams, you know, you take Delta Force, the 1st Special Forces Operations Detachment Delta, you take them, they go up there to North Carolina, they go through the House of Horrors. To qualify for that team after you get through the initial stuff, you got to go sit in the hot seat. You go inside that room, they put you next to a terrorist target, and all your comrades come in with 45 shooting live rounds, two double-tapping all the targets. Some of them are a foot from your head. You got to sit there with live ammunition going by your head. Flashbang, blow the door, the thing's over with in 4 or 5 seconds. Yeah. How do those guys do that stuff? Character. Fortitude. They determine they're going to do what they're told to do. Amen. God calls the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Just as you got a farmer out here in the field cussing God, God's good to that fella. He's long-suffering to him because he wants to see him get saved. You take some heathen military guy, God's good to the fella. I don't understand all that sometimes, but I'm telling you, he's great. How else could we be doing the way we're? I don't care what the media says. They need to drop the media in Iraq without any ammunition or anything. I get tired of hearing the media. All they do is blaspheme this country. It's treason. When I was a boy, it's treason.
Right.
They can get up and talk about the president, any of them, and just run them down, man. They talk to all those guys, that Letterman fool. I could punch him right in the nose by the grace of God, amen. They get up and blaspheme the president, and everyone laughs about it. Years ago, our old forefathers wouldn't have put up with that. That was treason. You didn't run the president down. I don't care who he was. I didn't run Bill Clinton down. I sure didn't like him, but I didn't run him down. He was our commander-in-chief when I was in the military. He wasn't that good of one, but I mean, hey, that's who God put in office. That's who he allowed to get in office anyhow. But I'm telling you, we live in a day and our respect's gone, amen. We're talking about our conversation. Let me go on here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, "For our rejoicing is this." Here's what he's happy about. Now, here's something to get happy about. "The testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world." He went on, he talks about being, they were epistles known and written and read of all men or something like that. His conversation, Paul had it down. He was a prior murderer, amen, a blasphemer. I'm telling you, Paul was a-doing it. Amen. Moses, I mean, you look, well, that's, I'm getting ahead of myself, but go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we're to be an example to the believers concerning word, conversation. What about charity? Now, the world wants to taint that down, and they want to call everything love. You know, everyone's in love. No, that's lust. Most of America is in a lust craze. They know nothing about godly, pure charity or a pure love of biblical sense. They ain't got the sense God gave a doorknob, amen. Most of them don't. They're junkies, man, on media junkies. They don't think for themselves. Their only callus is right here from playing video games. God help you if the only callus you got is a video game hand, amen. God ought to cut your thumbs off, amen. I mean, God help us in the morning. This country's been on that stuff. Little kids, they don't even know how to work anymore. They don't know how to think. We got guys in the academy that I expect to know how to hammer a nail. Now, what person don't know how to drive a nail? You would be amazed. Now, we got kids that are 15 and 16 that can't read coming to our academy. Public school. Can't even read. And they're graduating. Well, they're doing a fine job. Taxpayer dollars at work, you understand. I mean, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. And everybody's putting their head in their sand like it's okay. It's not okay. Listen, when I was here at Shackamack, I'm telling you, some of my nephews were telling me this week, they got almost have a fight every day now. When I was in school in 88, and when I graduated in 88, we didn't have fights every day. We had them once a month, maybe. Once a month, a knockdown drag out to public school. Now they got them every day. I mean, they got to have armed guards and metal detectors, and before you know, they're going to hire the military to watch the place. That's not the fix. It's the fixes in here. No God, no Bible, no character, and you ain't going to obey nobody. You're your own boss. I mean, Paul said without hope and without God in the book of Ephesians, talking about us Gentiles. That's the if I was to write a sentence about America, without hope, without God. That's where it's at. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. He says that he hates all workers, plural, of iniquity. That don't go over well with a lot of Christians. God don't... Yeah, he does. Read your Bible, sir. See, God's just. He's holy. He's loving. He is John 3:16, but he's also a God of righteous judgment. He's a God of holiness. You can't have one and leave the other attribute out. He's perfectly balanced. And, you know, sometimes we're not. And the thing of it is everybody wants to leave out the judgment part. But see, a good swift kick in the britches is what makes us walk with the Lord. You need it once in a while. A good whipping's good for anybody. There's tons of verses in Proverbs about whipping your kids. It's still in the book. I still say it all over the country. My wife still thinks one of these days I'm going to go to jail for doing it. And I may. But I'm not changing the Bible. I mean, thou shalt beat him with a rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. What delivers him? Not the rod. It's the thing of teaching him to submit to authority so that when the Holy Ghost of God speaks to him as the preacher is preaching, he'll submit to that authority and get saved. So the rod does drive him to Jesus Christ. When it's administered correctly, amen. I think whippings are wonderful. I mean, the way our home survives is a King James Bible, preaching, and the rod. That's it. All the military stuff we do is really don't count. It's just there to teach him some discipline and get up out of bed and that kind of stuff. It's good for your character. But really, it's God's book, God's spirit, and doing it God's way with that rod. We couldn't do it otherwise. We have to spank boys every day of the week. Every day of the week. I mean, we got 24 of them. I've got a 12-year-old. His name's Devontae Williams. Don't throw stones at me. I call him Devoniac. I have nicknames for him. You know what that is? It's a cross between the maniac of Gadara, Devoniac, the maniac, and the devil. This boy, I'm telling you, this boy has tried this. That's why I've got all this gray hair. This kid for 12 has drove me as hard as anyone's ever drove me. I'm telling you, there's some days I have to say, now, Lord, I want to hit him. Lord, I know it's not Christian. I know it's not right. It's wicked sin, but I want to level this kid right now. Can I please have 5 minutes to kill this kid? But I don't, okay? Y'all know me better than that. But I mean, the kid, I'm telling you, y'all would love to have him in your AC school. See, our AC school, I just went to the AC conference. We died. Me and the director were rolling the whole conference. Because our school is just not like y'all's. You got a godly, ours is godly, but it don't run according. We'll be in school some days, and all of a sudden a fight breaks out. And it's a knockdown slugfest, and there goes a math pace. There goes pencils this way. That's a normal day for us sometimes. I'm telling you. Or we'll be sitting there, and they'll steal you blind off the teacher's desk. You got to be an FBI agent. I can put seven pencils on the desk, And before the day's out, they're gone. And they get them without me catching them. I get so aggravated. I'm like, who stole my... I make them all stand up at attention. If I find them pencils, you're going to eat them pencils. I want to know where my pencils are. And they're all laughing at me. I'm like, guys. We call our school purgatory. It's Catholic purgatory. Amen. You ask my wife, man. I would rather preach for 2 hours and make school late than to have to go back there some days and get in what I call the driver's seat, the teacher's desk, man. It's you're right in the middle of all the action. You're dodging bullets all day long. Amen. Because you got to understand, we got boys in trig right now, geometry, algebra. Then we got kids that are 12 and 13 that can't read. So we're having to deal with them one-on-one, teach them, you know, hooked on phonics, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They can't read a Bible. Then we got kids that don't know no times tables. See, I found out this in public school. They don't diagram sentences anymore, like AC does, which I think is wonderful. And they don't teach timetables anymore. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. And we got kids that can't even do math because they don't even know what 4 times 9 is. I'm serious. They don't know unless they look at a times table sheet. It's enough to pull your hair out when you're trying to teach them school. I'm telling you. Sometimes, you know, an hour of math and some of the kids get 4 or 5 problems done. And I'm sitting there going, boy, they're going to graduate in 2055. See, how old am I going to be in 2055? Anyhow, we'll move on, amen. It's amazing. It's amazing, I'm telling you. You all would laugh at our... We need to tape our school, and I'll send you a tape of it sometime, a video. You get a kick out of it, amen. We do our best, though, amen. But you know, the AC guy's up there teaching us about little things kids do in the school, and I'm thinking, he has no idea what I... He ain't seen nothing. Let him come teach our school for a while. Amen. Anyhow, okay. So we need to be an example to the believers. Let's go on to... We're talking about charity. Young men, this is not... it's not a weakness. Having charity is not a weakness, okay?
Yes, sir.
It's a strength.
Amen.
It's a quality that every young man needs. It seems to come a lot easier for the young ladies because of the way that God's put them together and designed them. They're more emotional. That's the way they are, and it's a blessing. But men sometimes think it's a weakness to be nice to people. There's nothing. Jesus Christ was wonderful to people. Amen. It is good for you to have charity. You better have it. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, go over there real quickly. It's a wonderful chapter. Here's the definition, the dictionary in the Bible on that. 1 Corinthians and 13. Though Paul speaking here, though I speak, verse 1, with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, and so that I would remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. I'm telling you, if you don't have charity, you're bankrupt. It is a quality that's it's a command of God. If you ain't got it, you better find out how to get it. And it starts by reading the Bible, submitting to God's book. Just read the Bible. I blame everything on reading the Bible, just about. You can ask my wife. If it's a problem, it's a Bible problem. People just don't read anymore. They don't read the Bible, I should say. We're not students of reading God's book anymore, and therefore we really don't know. There's a crowd out there in our camp. You've got camps that know all the doctrine of the Bible, but they don't know any God. They know the book of the God, but they don't know the God of the book. That's a ditch. Then you've got people that know the God of the book, but they don't know the book of the God. You want both. It says that we're to increase in... it talks about in truth and in love. You got to have both. John talks about it. It's both. But here's charity is one of them. I won't have to take the time. You go down through there. It talks about it. It suffereth long. These are all adjectives mentioned here. It suffereth long. Is kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not proud. You mark a man that's proud and arrogant, and there's preachers like that sometimes. Like peacocks walking around. Think there's somebody they're not. Amen. God, that's not charity. Amen. You ain't going to help nobody doing that. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly. That's an old English word, unseemly. You ought to look that up sometime. Amen. I'm telling you some wonderful words. Seeketh not her own. There's a good one. It's not selfish. Charity looks out for everybody else and itself last. Amen. Is not easily provoked. Young men, there's a good one. I mean, one of the marks of having charity is that you're not easily provoked. There's an area I have to work on. You already know me. I run. That's my biggest niche. Anger control. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You've got to maintain control. thinketh not no evil. Of course, you're not going to be thinking no evil if all you're doing is hanging around evil. Amen. A lot of young people ask me, well, how do I get away? Well, get away from it, man. Right. It's so easy, my dear Watson. People say, well, I got a problem with this. What are you doing? I'll start asking them. Well, I'm doing this and this. Well, come on, buddy. I mean, you go jump in the garbage can, you get dirty. It's that simple.
Right.
I don't care if it's a rusted out garbage can or a brand new garbage can, it's still garbage. And whether it's the radio, bad programming, bad media, the internet, for God's sake, watch out for the internet. Now, we have it, but I'm telling you, my young'uns, I just don't do it. It's just too dangerous. I mean, they don't care about nothing. You can have that stuff pop up, the ungodliness, the pornography, the nakedness is wicked as hell. And if you're not careful, you'll train them young'uns all these born days you've got them. They're clean as undriven snow. And then you'll put them in front of something like that, and they'll put an image in their heart and mind. They'll deal with that the rest of their life. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. But my kids ain't been there, and I don't want them going there. Amen? I don't want them seeing stuff they don't need to see. They've seen enough already with the mistakes we've made. Amen? I don't need to do it on purpose. Amen? I'm not going to do it. And you know as well as I do, it's going to get worse the longer we go. The video games, you all know that. I get on that stuff. I mean, you just better watch it. You better watch the video games. You better watch the videos. You better watch that TV. Amen? You better watch it. It'll bite you. And it's going to get you to drag your kids from God. It will literally put out the fires of fervency in these young people if you're not careful. Because I'll be honest with you. I'd watch it 24 hours a day if I could get away with it. I'll just be honest with you. The flesh loves entertainment. But you know what I have to do? You ain't getting it. We don't have one in the boys' academy. You ought to see the boys. They have withdrawals like coming off of cocaine. No video players. No TV. No internet. No media the whole year they're there. None. They're like, they'll come in and say, they'll be sitting on the couch as soon as they get there and they'll be looking around. Where's the TV? We ain't got one. What are we going to do? Oh, you're going to do just fine, buddy. Sit down and shut your mouth. You got nothing else to say, amen. We're glad you're here. You ain't getting no TV while you're here, amen. God in heaven, man. I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch them. Amen. It's like that. And I'll tell you the other big thing that is the girl thing. We took them from their girlfriends. That's why it's a big hitter with me, this preacher. I'm telling you, I expect the world to mess up because they don't know any better. But us that are saved, we got no business courting that stuff. I'm against dating, man. I'm against it. It's of the devil. I mean, I was on the other side of the tracks here in Jacksonville. I know what works and what don't work. I can tell you everything that don't work. Amen? Because I didn't get saved. I was 21. We messed everything up. We did everything backwards. Nothing was done godly. Now I'm trying to do it right, okay? So I look like a stick in the mud, not to you all, but to a lot of other folk. But that's the way it is, amen? But I mean, this thing, you take the biggest problem we deal with in the Heritage Boys Academy is the spirit of fornication. Now, preachers understand that.
That's right.
I have been in the churches. God is my witness, judgment seat of Christ. Where I've walked in, you can ask my wife, there's a spirit of fornication in the church. But see, we deal with that so much, it's in our forefront that I'm sensitive to it. We're on the front lines. We're literally taking, like my director says, kids out of the devil's kitchen and we're snatching them out. And he don't like it. The kids we get, most of them, we got some church kids, but 3/4 of them are the castaways. The bottom line, they've been kicked out of other programs, kicked out of public schools, kicked out of government school or government-type state-run programs or other church schools and stuff. That's the crowd we're getting. And I'm telling you, they're a chore, amen? It seems like it's getting worse since we've started. To me, in my opinion, the kids we're getting now are of a meaner demeanor than they were 10 years ago, just in 10 years. I mean, I had a 10-year-old in our place, and just for sake, I won't even say, the foul language that came out of his mouth one night when we put him down to bed. We have monitors and I'm listening. I was in shock. My brain went to neutral for like 20 seconds because I did not know that kids that age, and you thought I would have known being in this ministry, but we've never had kids talk like they talk now in America. Some of them from the Bible Belt, amen? I'm just telling you, it takes a whole lot of praying, a whole lot of fasting, a whole lot of whoopings, and a whole lot of preaching. That's why we preach at them twice a day, because that's what works, amen? Preach the devil out of them, amen? It's what they need. So we're talking about charity, having charity. It beareth all things, it endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It never fails. Now, it's fail-proof. Having charity is fail-proof. Amen? We need it. How about in spirit? Proverbs 11:13, it says to have a faithful spirit. And you know what happens? You'll conceal the matter. You keep your mouth shut. One of the attributes of having a faithful spirit is sometimes you won't open up your mouth and tell everything you know. Amen? That's what got Hezekiah, I believe, in trouble in the Old Testament. He showed all the goods that he had. I believe it was Hezekiah. I might be wrong. One of those kings showed the wrong guy too much stuff, and he came in and stole it from him. Went into the house of God, raped and pillaged the place, tore it up, you know, and ran over God's stuff. So everybody don't need to know your business, especially this world. Ain't none of their business. Amen. I mean, ain't none of their business. Amen. Proverbs 14:29, don't hasty of spirit. You know what it does? The last part of the verse says it exalteth folly. Folly's sin. Being foolish. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Foolishness is bound the heart of a child. The thought of foolishness is sin. It says there that hasty of spirit. So I'm talking to these young people about this fact of your spirit, in spirit. You're being an example to the believers in spirit. That's you. That's your makeup. That's how you carry yourself. That's who you are. Amen? If I can say that, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, Proverbs 16:19, you're to have a humble spirit with the lowly. Proverbs 16:32, and he that ruleth his spirit. You better rule it. Keep you out of hot water. There's a lot of guys on death row that messed up for 5 minutes. Blowed their temper, got off course for a few minutes. Next thing they know, they've done something they shouldn't have been doing. Too late then. Time to reap, amen. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no ruler over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. The enemy can come in if you don't rule your spirit, young man. You're going to have to do that. You know what you all hate? You hate being told what to do. I know I'm right, amen, because I don't like it. At 37, I just turned 37 2 days ago. And it's harder now to do more than I've ever done. You don't think so, preacher, but I'm telling you, I used to be able to run 5 miles in 35 minutes. I'm telling you now, but I'm determined I refuse to get old. Now, I know I'm getting old, but I cannot. I don't like it, amen. Because in the academy, man, these guys are all running 116 mile an hour, and I just can't be slothful around them. Amen. There's days where I'm by myself with them. I tell them all the time, God forbid, but I'm telling you, if one of y'all put your hands on me, the first five of you is going to the hospital. They may end up winning before it's over with, but the first five are afraid to get in contact. Amen. Because I got experience. I tell them, some of them's bigger than me too. Now, I don't give a rip. Amen. I can't afford it. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you. My daughters, or Brother Nick's got a girl. She's precious, man. I mean, just a fine young lady. She's, what, 10 or 11 now? I mean, just as clean as just like some of these girls. It's just wonderful. I mean, it fires me up to have them clean little girls. They dress them up and make them look just fine for the Lord's handmaiden, amen? And I don't want them boys messing with them. And even if it ain't mine, amen? If we walk out of here tonight and someone messed with one of these girls, I'd thump on them. I promise you I'd be the first one in the action, amen? The way I am, amen. That's the way it was in the old days. Look, read Peter Cartwright's autobiography, amen. He used to beat him up with corn cobs and then lead him to the Lord, amen. Take corn stalks, get them steels and knock them over and preach the devil out of them. Old Methodist, amen. Old circuit riding, amen. Young man, you need to learn how to control yourself during adversity. It's easy to do it when everything's right. Mom and daddy gives you work, you get paid, things are going well, you're getting to do what you want to do, play some ball out back or whatever. But when they stop you when you're wanting to do something you want to do, and they ask you to do something else, or the pastor needs you to do something that ain't on your schedule when you would like to be doing it, how do you respond then? That's when it counts. That's a real measure of where you're at with the Lord at times in your life. Let somebody mess up your day. Let some brother call you that needs you for some assistance, and you've already got your day, especially during hunting season. I'm supposed to go hunting today, and then the pastor calls and needs you to do something. Well, now, Lord, now, come on now. Well, how do we respond then? Amen. Amen. I mean, it's easy to behave when everything's just right. You can ask my wife. I'm just the greatest guy to be around when I get everything I want. But the men are selfish. For no man ever yet hated himself, hated his own flesh, but loveth it and nourisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. Men are selfish by nature. Amen. So we're talking about spirit. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Let me go on to faith, and I'm going to close it down. Faith. In faith. You need to be an example. 2 Timothy 1:5, everyone knows this example. Let's read it again. third generation Christian here, Timothy. And I don't know that his dad's ever mentioned, but his mama, grandma and mama is. And you can still raise first, second, third, and fourth generation Christians in America. It can be done. I don't care what people are saying. I've had preachers tell me why. They've actually, good friends of mine that love us, but, you know, brother, why you waste your time? You know, your kids are going to throw the standards away when they turn 18. You know, just cash it in. Let it go. Do the best you can. No, sir. God's book said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he's older will not depart from it. Now, I can't make him love God. I can drive him to the trough, but I can't make him drink. You can stomp on a horse, but you still can't make it drink. My goal is to get their heart. My son, give me thine heart. I want their heart as their daddy. And if daddy would be the role model for Jesus Christ I'm supposed to be, by the grace of God, it's the only way it's going to get done. And God cover up all the mistakes we make by his grace. That's a scary thing. And my wife be the role model. I mean, we want them to love God. That's all I'm after. If they'll love God like they're supposed to, everything else will fall in place. Because where your heart is, there is your treasure also. I mean, if they love the Lord like the Bible says to, you won't have to tell them what to do. They'll do it, amen. They'll follow you, amen. 2 Timothy 1:5. But I'm not cashing. I've told my kids they're going to have to run over the top of Brother Buddy, his wife, me and my wife. They're going to have to go wrong on purpose. There's a lot of barriers at our academy, I'm telling you now. A lot of preachers love them kids, pray well with them kids. And they're going to have to go wrong on their own. They ain't doing it at my house. They want to get 18 and tell mama, amen, I'll help them out the front door. That's awful to say, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to coddle their sin. They mess up, they're going to get hammered like anybody else would, amen. Just, I want them to serve the Lord, and I want them to do right by the grace of God. And it's a blessing to come here and see the example here. The proof's in the pudding. And it's a blessing, man. I mean, it's a rarity to see it, but it's a blessing to see it here. 2 Timothy 1:5, the Bible says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in thee also. Amen. Unfeigned faith. Timothy was a fine young man by the grace of God. The Bible says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise. What about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you heard the word... For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you heard the word which... I don't know. What. Let me go over there. 2 Timothy. Someone quote that for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. I think this verse unlocks the Bible. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which affects and worketh also in you that believe. You believe the Bible, it unlock it. It increase your faith. Childlike faith. Believe what God said, the way God said it, and just do it. Amen. God will figure everything else out. So you need to have unfeigned faith. That's absolute trust in the Lord. Just like a little 2 and 3 year old trust daddy can do no wrong. They think daddy can move a mountain. Right. That's the way the Lord wants us to be with him.
Right.
He wants us to be just the same as that. I mean, amen. That's the kind of faith we need. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just that way it is. Every young man needs it. Every young lady needs it. Let me close in purity. Proverbs 18:26. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. You want God to show himself pure to you? You need to be pure. Now, I know he saves you. I understand your spirit's quickened. It's made alive. I understand your soul is sealed to the day of redemption. This old flesh ain't saved. Amen. We're going to get a new body one day, but that's the part we need to crucify. Amen. Right. Philippians 4:8, what sort of things are pure? He goes on to say, he goes down through a whole list there. And he ends it up, think on these things. These things. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, David said. We're talking about purity. Young ladies, you ought to stay pure. It's worth every mile. I heard an old preacher say this. He was dealing with a Christian school somewhere, and they was picking on a little girl because she hadn't lost her purity in a Christian school. Matter of fact, I heard it from Phil Kidd. You know, you can take it or leave it. I don't like everything Brother Kidd does. He got some good stuff. You know, I love some of his outlines. He got some wonderful homiletical outlines. But anyhow, he said he was somewhere, and a preacher said a girl, they were picking on this girl, and this girl told him, said this. It's a mouthful. I wrote this down in my other Bible. That girl looked at them other girls and said, "I can become what you are any day of the week. But if you live to be 1,000, you'll never be what I am." It's worth it. It is worth waiting on God, staying with God, no matter what anybody else tells you. That book ain't never going to change. I don't care who rewrites it. They're trying to do that. But God wrote a book. He put a standard in place. He knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, listen, He knows what we're supposed to be doing. You little girl, you stay clean till the day God brings a man along. Amen. And then it'll be blessed of God. The way God designed it. Not the way Hollywood designed it. They're wicked, man. That crowd is wicked, wicked, wicked. I mean, the billboards, everything about them is ungodly. They're against that Bible. They're against these preachers. They hate church, God, and the Bible. They don't give a rip about these little kids. They hate AC schools. They don't want us teaching these kids. They want to teach them. They want to instruct them in the way of sodomy and all that garbage. Bunch of wicked devils, amen. I'm against that crowd, amen. There's sodomites all over the place we're from. I tell them, I roll the window down and preach at them, amen. They're going to burn in hell if they don't repent. I think a lot of them are reprobates. I know that's debatable, but some of my preacher friends don't like me because I think they're reprobates. I do. I witness to them, but I'm just telling you where I think. I preach judgment at them. I don't want them around you little girls and boys, I promise you that. I ain't got enough of love of God in me. I'm not the Lord, amen. I haven't arrived yet. I don't want them around, amen. Let them, you go, take them on down the road and witness to them, amen. Amen. That crowd, that there is degrees of sin. That crowd is exceedingly sinful. And there ain't a nation in the library that's ever made it out, and America's no exception. Not one nation, Rome or all of them, they've all fell from within from that kind of ungodly, wicked, fleshly sin. And it ain't the fornication, the adultery, all that stuff is all intertwined. And sodomy's the inroad. It started out by looking at the swimsuit books and this book and messing around with this. And then the next thing you know, they just ride on down the skidder with the devil. That's how you produce a sodomite. They ain't born that way. Amen. They get around ungodly stuff and they get bored with the natural things that God put in place. Read it, Romans, they're without natural affection. Amen. They're wicked, man. They're going to fry in hell, I'm telling you. I tell them all the time. Amen. They look at you like a calf in a new gate, like what am I supposed to say? You're wicked, man. You're ungodly. You're vile. And if you don't repent, you're going to burn in hell, sir or ma'am. I shouldn't call them sir or ma'am, but I do. Trying to be nice, you know. First Timothy, we were going to church one day, and there was two men necking in broad daylight. So I'm like, hey! You're going to burn in hell if you don't repent! That's wicked sin! Sodomy, that's what I told them. Started preaching at them, street preaching, stopped the car in the mid-turn. And everyone stopped, amen? I mean, you know. They ought to be ashamed to be out there doing that stuff. Bible Belt, Florida. That's what I think of the Bible Belt in Florida, amen. Ain't much to brag about, I can tell you that. When we got sodomy, I got to shut her down. 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Amen? You need to keep yourself pure. God said, you got to do it. Did you hear that, young people? You know how you keep yourself pure? You do it. God will help you, but He's not going to do it for you. You got the Holy Ghost living on the inside. You got a book in your lap. You got preaching. You can pray. You got folks praying for you. Everything's there for you to make it out of this thing on top.
Right.
But you know what it really boils down to? You got to choose to want to do right.
Amen.
And if you don't make the right decision, all the Bible training, all the praying, preaching, you can throw it all away in 5 minutes. Some of you young'uns have been raised here since you've been born. And you can go out of this place, graduate, and I would hope to God that you live for God after you're gone from here. You don't just live for God while you're here.
Amen.
What counts is when you live for God 2 weeks after you've graduated.
Amen.
Wherever God takes you.
Right.
We're on vacation. We live for God while we're on vacation.
Amen.
We don't miss a church service.
Amen.
We just don't do it. I mean, for me to come up here and run around half naked, act like a fool, what would that be? That'd be wasting y'all's money, that's for sure. It's ungodly, man. So our testimony, our conversation, being an example of believers, and all those things God mentioned, it's important, young people, young men, young ladies, stay with God, stay right, do your schoolwork as much as you hate it. I hate school too. But if I got to sit in an AC school, so do you. Amen. I'm 37, and I still have to sit in it. Amen. English, diagram, and all that. I know all those parts of speech now. It has helped me. Amen. I can read my Bible now and break it down. That's an adjective, that's an adverb, that's an adjective, and all that kind of business. My wife went, huh? That's how cuckoo I went over there at the Boys Academy. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. I hope it was an encouragement to the young people. You got a lot of young people here, and I know the school, he said, has grown since I've been here last time, and that's a blessing. But to stay straight and stay with God, young people. Not a one of you. We don't want to lose a one of you. One of you is too many. One of you. One of you is too many. And I'll tell you how to stay clean. Stay away from the dirt. It's that simple. I mean, and I'm through. When I was out there with Robert Borders on that hog farm, the quickest way, we got to whip him one day. I'll close with this. He told his daughter, Anne Marie, Christine, Angela, and Anne Marie. He had three girls, me, my brother, Richard, and Jennifer. The girls had to clean off one slab. We had to clean off the other side. There was about a 20-foot gap between the two slabs. That was where all the slop was. I'm talking 2 and 3 feet deep. Nasty. Hogs are nasty. And we were out there, got to goofing off, and we started slinging slop all over each other. Now, what I didn't know was Robert Dawn, I used to call him Robert Dawn, he was watching us the whole time up in the barn. And he was a disciplinary. I promise you that. And I needed it, amen. We're out there we were covered, and it was nasty. Next, boys, girls, kunk, we dropped the shovel. I'm like, oh no, we are dead meat. I'm thinking we're going to get killed. You know what we were? We were filthy. You know why we were filthy? We got down in the slop. We did not obey. We were told to remove it, not play in it, not get in it, not throw it on each other. You know what happened? We got filthy dirty. You know what happened? We got a whooping. Not only do we have to get cleaned up, we got a good hide burning whipping. Amen? Those kind that just really fire you up. Amen? You know, he laid the stripes, we saw the stars. You understand? But I'm through, preacher. I hope it was a blessing. I'm through. Amen?